Welcome to Nelson and your audio guide to the Huangshe Chinese Garden Walk. We will refer to the site numbers on the Huangshe Chinese Garden Walk map and landmarks along the way. Download your map from www.nelsoncitycouncil.co.nz. This walk is one of a series of arts and heritage walks developed by the Nelson City Council. The Huangshe Chinese Garden was opened in November 2007 to celebrate a sister city link with Huangshe in the province of Hubei, China. Much of the information for this walk comes from council staff who were intimately involved with the project. All of the garden details were approved of by sister city Huangshe. The Nelson branch of the New Zealand-China Friendship Society first proposed the idea of a Chinese garden to the council, and the garden was commissioned in December 2001. Construction began in 2003. Whilst the bulk of the funding came from the Nelson City Council, the Huangshe Municipal People's Government made a substantial contribution. Sponsors are listed in the garden's entry foyer. Our walk starts at the Information Centre in Miller's Acre. Go towards the river and turn right onto the Mai Tai walkway alongside the river. Continue along this until you reach the Normanby Aratuna Bridge with its distinctive eel pattern on the abutments. An access path to your right takes you up onto Bridge Street. Queen's Gardens is clearly visible across the road, and Huangshe Chinese Garden sits to the left, with the main walled and roofed entrance located on Tasman Street. The garden can be freely visited daily from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. The site selected for the Huangshe Chinese Garden is well suited, forming a pleasant contrast to the formal flowerbeds of the regular geometric shape found in the adjacent Victorian-style Queen's Gardens. Fortunately, several mature trees planted in the 1880s were of Chinese origin and fit beautifully into the Chinese garden design or provide an appropriate backdrop. The Huangshe Chinese Garden is referred to as a scholar's garden and is based on ancient Chinese garden design principles developed as far back as 2,000 years ago. Chinese gardens have three purposes: as function, as art, and as an ideal. The garden, as function, is intended to be the setting for a good life, an extension of the house and home. It is a place for recreation, vegetables and fruit, water and domestic animals. The garden as art is intended to feature water flowing freely, walls that define and create spaces, winding walkways and footpaths that zigzag, plants abounding, and windows to give glimpses and entice people to look inside. Plants used throughout the garden include pine, bamboo, plum, and cycad. The garden features flowers signifying the female present, including peony for wealth and lotus for purity. The garden as an ideal signifies a theme and a literary expression of poetry and art. The garden serves as a place for literati, scholars and royalty. At the corner of Tasman and Bridge Streets, five Fritinia glabra are found, with two spreading specimens forming an almost continuous canopy from inside and outside the garden. This is number one on your map. With their attractive foliage and graceful form, they make an appropriate marker to the entrance of this tranquil space. These trees are native to China and found in the Hubei province, and this group was one of many planted originally as part of the Queen's Gardens, and they work well in their new context. Pause and listen to the sound of a breeze through the leaves. Reach up and rustle them if it is a still day. Enjoy the range of colour in the leaves. While plants were generally grown for practical reasons in a Chinese garden, look carefully at the choices made in the plantings in this garden, as the garden designer has thought about the added bonus that fragrance, texture, form and colour give, and the differences in the sounds leaves make when rustled. This walk is all about pausing, thinking, listening, and creating a peaceful time in your day and using all of your senses. Two imposing Fu Dog statues, carved from stone by Chinese carvers, grace either side of the entrance to the Chinese gardens. These are number two on your map. They were donated by Nancy Macy, a regular visitor to Nelson over the past 17 years, and she wished them to be placed here at the entrance to the gardens. Fu Dogs are the ancient sacred dogs of Asia that guard Buddhist temples. They are commonly placed at business institutions, temple gates, home entrances, tombs, or in front of government buildings to scare off the evil spirits. They have the appearance of a lion, a sacred animal in Buddhism, who is the proud master of all cats. Fu Dogs can be traced back as early as the Han Dynasty, first appearing in Chinese art and approximately 208 BC. The pair guarding the Chinese garden are a traditional male-female pair, with the male playing with a ball that symbolises the earth and the female holding a cub and protecting those who dwell inside. Their job is to ward off evil spirits and watch over the garden. The female cradles the cub with her paw, and the male has the orb under his foot. Enter through the roofed atrium, whose walls continue into a perimeter wall, plastered and whitewashed, and topped with traditional clay tiles brought in from Huangshu. By walling off the garden and using a walled enclosure to enter, an element of surprise is created by directing the views of the visitor. Note the intricate filigree in the gate and the grills featuring a magnolia pattern. When you emerge into the garden, a range of textures will immediately delight you, and the pale walls will create a backdrop for sculptural shapes. Stone is the hard skeletal structure of the world. It's used in a garden in two important ways, as sculpture and as building materials. Large limestone rocks are featured at a number of places in this garden. Some are at sites shown as number three on your map. Weathered limestone cast rocks are revered in China and form the backbone of any garden. These ones were sourced from Tarakohi in Golden Bay and are an excellent match for rocks found in traditional Chinese gardens. Traditional Chinese gardens were meant to evoke a feeling of being in the larger natural world so that the occupant could capture the sensations of wandering through the landscape of the world. Compositions of garden rocks were viewed as mountain ranges and towering peaks. Miniature trees and bushes suggested ancient trees and forests, and small ponds or springs represented mighty rivers and oceans. The distinctive yellow-coloured dolomite rocks, number five on your map, are also featured as a special link to Huangshu, which translates to yellow stone in English. Large rocks with sculptural, whimsical shapes are highly sought after. The rugged contours are riddled with openings and hollows, which suggest overhanging cliffs or imply passage through a cavern. The water-worn stone implies the virtues of patience, as the determination of soft water can slowly wear away the hard stone. Notice the cave in this rock, complete with its own colony of ferns existing on a minimum of sustenance. Vertical masses of rock form sculptural elements against pale garden walls. The garden scenery is constantly altered by the shifting effects of light and the seasons, which form an important part of one's experience in a garden. One important consideration in garden design is expressing different aspects of yin and yang. This is the ancient Chinese way of explaining how everything happens in life. While yin would be dark, passive, downward, cold, and contracting and weak, yang would be bright, active, upward, hot, expanding, and strong. There is a constant interaction of two energies. Things expand and contract. Temperatures change from hot to cold. Nothing is completely black or white. And yin cannot exist without yang. The juxtaposition and interaction of opposites can be seen in the placement of irregularly shaped rocks next to smooth. Holes in rocks show mass contrasting with space, and a dark forecourt that precedes entry into a sun-drenched central courtyard. Take off your shoes and enjoy the handmade pebble mosaic paving as you step into the garden. They are designed to massage the unshod feet of visitors as they relax in the garden, and also create a pleasing visual effect. They were a challenge to create locally and reflect the craftsmanship and detailing required to replicate an authentic Chinese garden. Even though the garden is relatively small, aspects are revealed one at a time and help engage all the senses, not just sight. A garden should have artistic soul. The garden's ability to arouse or relax emotions, inspire poetry, painting, and photography is its ultimate success. As the garden matures and mellows, its various features will take on that sense of antiquity and charm that rests the soul and invigorates the spirit. Patience is one of those virtues that inspired the original garden masters. To your right and number 6 on your map is a viewing deck, which gives views across the Eel Pond into the Queen's Gardens. See the large camphor tree planted in the 1880s, number 7 on your map. Camphor trees are revered in China and are frequently found growing in temple gardens. It is a happy coincidence that this variety of tree can add value to our Chinese garden, as it is native to Hubei province and is used as a street and civic tree in Huangshu. These evergreen trees are native of East Asia, mainly China and Japan. Camphor was traditionally used in many East Asian cultures for its fragrant incense and wood. The tree has small and fragrant flowers, which are yellow in colour, and oval red berries in season. An oil can be distilled from the leathery leaves. Camphor has been used for many centuries as a culinary spice, and camphor is recorded as being used as flavouring in confections resembling ice cream in China in the Tang Dynasty, which was 618 to 907 AD. In fact, camphor has an amazing array of uses, including a component of incense, an insect repellent, a flea-killing substance. It was also used medicinally and an important ingredient in the production of smokeless gunpowder and celluloid. So, a very useful tree with the bonus of fragrance. Giant canary palms are found on either side of the viewing deck. Slow-growing cycad palms, number 8 on your map, with their feathery frond tops, are native to southern China and have been planted in the garden to your right, with a backdrop of our New Zealand native Nikau palms. Cycad palms grow as natives in a number of countries in the lower and upper tropics, and a starch can be obtained from the seeds if carefully soaked and ground to remove toxins. They have been used as a last resort famine food in parts of Asia. Water is an essential garden element, and the pond, number 9 on your map, mirrors the sky above and the surrounding rocks and plantings, giving ever-changing vistas. Water is a life force, and here the solidity of stone, of the pond edging, and the elements, which are yang, are balanced by the softness of the water, yin, contained and constrained within it. When opposites, yin-yang, are in balance, there is rejuvenating qi energy. As the circulatory system of the world, water brings vital energy to the garden and to its visitors. Ever-changing effects of sun and clouds enter the garden a second time through their reflection in water. Water in a Chinese garden should flow freely as though it has no end. The garden pond in the Huangshu Chinese garden flows from a waterfall into the pond around a concealed bend and out into the Queen's Gardens pond. During the Ming Dynasty in China, water also had several practical purposes as protection against fire, for the irrigation of plants and crops, and as a source of fresh fish. Water also helps regulate humidity and both purifies and cools the air around it. Water lilies can be seen during the warmer months, although ducks are very fond of the new growth and they are taking their time to get established. The focal point of the garden is its pavilion, or shi, number 10 on your map, which provides space for contemplation while listening to the sound of the hidden waterfall. It has a distinctive upturned tiled roof. The roof of the pavilion was also created with genuine Chinese roofing tiles, direct from the Hubei province. A number of unusual plants of Chinese origin are planted in the garden alongside, and include the prickly-leaved Mahonia and the rarer purple-flowered Daphne Genqua. The Edgeworthia delights with its pom-pom clusters of flowers on bare branches in the late winter. A large Cotinus tree, number 11 on your map, otherwise known as the smoke tree, has branches that reach out across the pond, and it marks the seasons with glorious autumn foliage, winter sculptural form, verdant spring foliage, and smoky summer flowers. This species originated in the drier regions of China and Europe. Its golden leaves are coveted for high contrast foliage compositions. Its practical uses were that it could be used in Chinese traditional medicine to eliminate dampness and heat, and as an antipyretic. A yellow or orange dye can be obtained from the root and the stem, and can be used for fabric dyeing. The leaves and bark are a good source of tannins to produce the colour known as yellow fustic when dyeing leather. The zigzag bridge, number 12 on your map, is often used for water crossings in Chinese gardens. According to Zen philosophy and teachings, the design is to focus the walker's attention to the mindfulness of the place they are in, being here now. As zigzag bridges often have no railings, it was quite possible for an inattentive walker to simply fall off and end up in the water, which would certainly encourage concentration in the future. Zen is a variety of Buddhism that was first documented in China in the 7th century and credited to an Indian prince turned monk, Bodhidharma, who came to China to teach this way of thinking. The zigzag designs of paths and bridges also follow principle of Chinese feng shui. negative energy and bad spirits are believed to have problems navigating corners, while people in good energy have no such problem. Historically, feng shui was widely used in China to orient buildings, often spiritually significant structures such as tombs, but also dwellings and other structures, in an auspicious manner. Depending on the particular style of feng shui being used, an auspicious site could be determined by reference to local features such as bodies of water, stars, or a compass. Feng shui was suppressed in China during the Cultural Revolution of the 1960s, but has since seen an increase in popularity. If you veer away from the zigzag bridge and continued along the pebbled paving, you will see a number of plants featured along the wall of the Tasman Street boundary. Chinese garden designers liked to feature significant plants that had symbolic meanings for human traits, such as purity, grace, virtue, honesty, uprightness, longevity, and antiquity, while providing a subdued floral interest through the seasons. Featured here, we have pine, which symbolizes longevity, and bamboo, which symbolizes courage. The young pines on your left are Chinese red pine. They are revered for their resilience and longevity, their handsome form, and the sound of the wind in their branches. Pine are known as one of the Chinese gardener's three good friends of winter, due to their perseverance and unconquerable spirit in the face of freezing cold and hardship. The other two friends are bamboo and winter sweet. The large trees you can see looking backwards towards the entranceway behind the magnolia are very old specimens of Norfolk pine and Douglas fir. Bamboo is widely grown for its practical structural uses and prized for its virtues of strength and flexibility and tenaciousness. The play of light and shadow, particularly on garden walls, and the rustling of its leaves delight the senses as much as the handsome simplicity of the plants please the eye. Bamboo has inspired poets and artists for millennia. A number of bamboo varieties are found inside this garden and also outside the wall around the banana palm. You will notice that the pebble paving changes to a different style of smooth paving, in keeping with the element of surprise and juxtaposition of textures, at the far end of this garden. The tree growing in the corner is the amazing Ginkgo biloba and is the national tree of China. The ginkgo is a living fossil, and fossils of this tree are found dating back 270 million years. It is also known as the maidenhair tree. It is a unique species with no close living relatives. The tree has been widely cultivated since an early period in human history and has various uses as a food and traditional medicine. Extreme examples of the ginkgo's tenacity may be seen in Hiroshima in Japan, where six trees growing between 1 to 2 kilometres from the 1945 atom bomb explosion were among the few living things in the area to survive the blast, whilst almost all other plants and animals in the area were destroyed. The ginkgos, though charred, survived and were soon healthy again. The trees are alive to this day. Today, the properties of this tree are being investigated to treat such diseases as dementia. The far corner of the garden has a display of peonies. The peony is known as the king of flowers and symbolise wealth and prosperity, with their brilliant colours and majestic appearance. early explorer Marco Polo was very impressed when he first saw Chinese peonies and described them as roses as big as cabbages. Also in this garden is a winter flowering plum. The plum is fondly known as one of the Chinese garden's four virtuous gentlemen. The other gentlemen are orchid, bamboo, and chrysanthemum. Over the other side of the wall, the top of the banana palm can be clearly seen. This is number 13 on your map. Every Chinese scholar's garden was expected to have a banana palm, as this was a symbol of learning. History books tell us of many serious Chinese students who would carefully practice their calligraphy brush strokes on banana leaves because they could not afford paper or silk, which are also both Chinese inventions. In addition, banana leaves helped the scholar concentrate as he painted and wrote poetry. He would listen to the rain drumming on the leaves and the wind rustling the leaves and hear the peaceful sounds of nature's music. Visually, banana trees also form striking silhouettes against the tile-capped walls. The moth window and vase gate, numbers 14 and 15 on your map, are typical examples of the types of embellishment of openings using familiar shapes or a delicate filigree. The moon gate, number 16 on your map, frames the view of the internal garden. This is a traditional shape, and as a circle is seen as a symbol of heaven. It also symbolizes perfection. The shape is desirable as it slows walkers, ensuring visitors enter the gate singly. The shape focuses the eye on the view beyond. The highly arched Rainbow Bridge, 17 on your map, is the newest addition to the Chinese garden and connects the eastern shore to the western shore with symbolism to match its grace and charm. The high arch allows boats to pass beneath, thereby encouraging the passage of trade. The bridge's filigree side panels feature the distinctive magnolia pattern. We have now completed our walk. To return to the information centre and your starting point, you could retrace your steps along the Maitai walkway, or alternatively, go along Bridge Street to Trafalgar Street and through the shopping area of the city. The eyesight is at the junction of Trafalgar and Halifax Streets. We hope you have enjoyed the Huangshe Chinese Garden Walk. For more arts and heritage information, you could visit the PROW website at www.theprow.org.nz. This will give you images and stories of the Nelson region. Other heritage information, heritage walks and events can be found on the City Council website, www.nelsoncitycouncil.co.nz. Other garden walks include the Queen's Garden Walk, Melrose Garden Walk, and Isle Park Walk. Otherwise, you could contact the Arts and Heritage Advisor at the Nelson City Council.